Rokonjo with Ben and the Blondes right here on 720 WGN. Coming up in this hour, we got Bert Olson coming up right now to talk about this. It's big. The other story out of Washington today, well, there's three, really. There's the fact that Jeff Sessions is going to be tomorrow testifying in front of an open hearing in the Senate. A lot of eyes will be on that.
Sure.
Then there is the president having one of the more bizarre spectacles of what's been a fairly bizarre few months, in which he had his cabinet members in, and the cabinet members all, after the president talked for, as he likes to do, he went off for 3 or 4 minutes about all of his accomplishments. He then, more accomplishments than any other president other than FDR at this stage of the game, he says.
That's what he said?
FDR like the Russians. What's wrong with that? And we'll play some of that for you coming up, because it is rather unsettling when you all these cabinet members like sucking up to him. It is an honor. It is my most distinct and privileged honor to be here serving with you, sir. You are the one, and it's your leadership that is leading. It's like, oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Is that the one that Senator Schumer mocked in his video response to it?
And I just don't understand why one needs to do that. Let's get down to the business here. Why the whole thing is about polishing the apple here. It's a big apple. And then the other story is the attorneys general from two neighboring states, the District of Columbia, have filed a lawsuit that is seeking information about how much the Trump hotels and other businesses are benefiting from foreign governments and how that might be impacting the Emoluments Clause. And when you hear people now defending Trump on this, well, he's a business guy. We've never been in this before. It's okay. There's nothing that says George Washington, you know, made money by selling his farm product, wheat or whatever it was, to England. So what are you going to do? That's fine. It's just fine.
Didn't we also have slaves back then?
Yes, we did have slaves back then. That's a good point. And the other, although at times they have a change. And is that actually true? Did George Washington sell to the British right after the Revolutionary War while he was president of the United States? Is that what happened? Or, you know, a decade after? I'd like to know the
Trump
answer.
Trump people are claiming.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't surprise me to learn that wasn't actually what happened. All right, Bert Odelson, a founding partner of Odelson and Stark, is an attorney in Chicago, based in Chicago, who does all kinds of election law. You name it, Bert does it. Getting guys on the ballot, off the ballot, near the ballot, by the ballot, conflict of interest cases, and things like that. Now, in all of your understanding of how the rules of government and the Constitution work here, is Donald Trump on solid ground if Saudi Arabia spent $250,000 at his hotel since he's become president?
Is he on solid ground? He's on marsh. He's not on solid ground. It's not about how much the Saudis have spent. It's if his hotels and other interests have peaked up since his presidency because of his presidency and because of his dealings, not only with the Saudis, but with five or six other governments mentioned in the lawsuit, which is by, I have to tell you, a very, very interesting lawsuit, invoking not only the federal Emoluments Clause, but the domestic Emoluments Clause about his dealings with the individual states. There's two clauses involved in the Constitution here.
So the president can't do business with states either, where states pay him because they could curry favor.
Exactly, and that the framers of the Constitution, of course, didn't want a federalist president dealing differently with the states. That's why we're called the United States. And so there's a specific clause not allowing the president to receive any type of extra compensation by way of dollars or gifts or favors but from the states as well as from federal governments.
Burton, it's an interesting thing there, because you know what I've been thinking about here is when you watch the president talk about things, and last week he was talking about the states that really, you know, are states that he would like to help or that are in trouble or whatever it is. It's always he has a tendency to rattle off the states that he won. You never hear, and he sometimes jokes about penalizing the states that he didn't win. You know, you assume it's a joke, but think about that.
But it's not. Well, you don't have to think about it. It's going to become a reality because it was announced by his son a few weeks ago that they're going to start building new hotels. And guess where the hotels are going? In states he won. So that affects domestic commerce as well as federal commerce. But please, do you remember, Ro, back in November when you had me on, we talked about how much it's going to take to push the Republicans over the edge to start impeachment? Well, you're getting closer and closer. When you have the attorney generals of these states filing a lawsuit against the president of the United States, it's almost unheard of. I haven't read the whole 40-page lawsuit, but it's very interesting. It brings up some excellent constitutional points and, by the way, quotes Hamilton from the Federalist Papers.
Oh, not the musical.
No.
They don't quote from the musical.
In the room where it happened? Is that mentioned at all, Bert?
Yeah.
Bert, let me ask you something, though, because the Emoluments Clause is a tricky one. The New York Times has an entire story today devoted to, in 230 years, no court has interpreted exactly what constitutes an emolument. So a tough one to litigate, but one of the things that would come out of it is this: they're seeking to obtain the president's tax returns to gauge the extent of his business dealings, because that may be actually one of the targets of this whole lawsuit, to figure out exactly where he is involved.
Yes, and again, I throw back to November of 16, we talked exactly about will his tax returns ever get disclosed. And I think I said, and maybe you said, Ro, that maybe someday someone will sue and someone will get a hold of them and we'll see the real Donald Trump. This is it. I don't think this case will be dismissed like some of the other cases, because D.C. and Maryland both have, I think, standing to sue because of the Emoluments Clause and because they're states. They're not individual people. I think the case will go on until they do get his personal tax returns, but it's going to be quite a while, because any ruling will be disclosure of his tax returns will go to the United States Supreme Court.
That'll be interesting.
Oh, gosh.
That will be extremely interesting concerning the recent appointment, yes. So the Emoluments Clause has had different interpretations. The basic bottom line is, has the chief executive benefited through his office financially? That's the bottom line. And because he's president of the United States, are all of these heads of government now booking at the Trump Hotel? Actually, there's good examples in the lawsuit and in the press about how that is exactly the case, that these governments are changing their plans and booking themselves and their entourages into the Trump hotels.
Right. And then but then there's also this issue of currying favor with the family, too, because China has given the Trump Organization one in terms of a real estate deal and the second one with Ivanka and getting a patent cleared in China that, you know, that benefit the company, you know, that benefit their private interests here. And then you do have to wonder. I mean, the kids love to, especially Don Jr., you know, there are no conflict of interest for the president of the United States. I find that almost incomprehensible how that could be the case, since there are for any lesser office.
It is not comprehensible. Like, of course, there's benefit because you're the president of the United States. But I want you to, when you have a chance to peruse the lawsuit, it is far more expansive than what the press is even talking about, because it not only involves China, it involves the United Arab countries, Kuwait, Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Qatar, India, Georgia in Russia, the United Kingdom, and others. So it's very expansive, and the only way they're going to be able to disprove the allegations is by coming up with proof that he's disassociated himself, which he said he was going to do, which you remember we said is going to be hard to do, one, and two, to prove? And what do the tax returns show as far as his income since being president versus what it was prior to being president? What will this lead to? It could lead to an impeachable offense, and it could lead to people from his party crossing over, going down the impeachment road. And I'll just remind you, I don't know if you saw Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, talking about the recent tweets. He said yesterday, "You're your own worst enemy here, Mr. President. Knock it off." So he's got right. prominent people from his own party, not just John McCain. Now he's got Lindsey Graham calling into question his actions.
All right, Bert. I don't think you could be more crystal clear about this than you have. I guess the one last question that I have about where this heads is in terms of the release of the tax returns. I want to go back to this. You said that the Supreme Court would have to make the decision. So does that work its way through the court? So every court will make like they did with the travel ban. They go, yes, you must release. No, you must not. Yes, you must. No, you must not.
Yeah, it does work its way, and I misspoke. They don't have to determine it. They can determine not to determine. Remember, they can say, no, we're not taking the case. Go back. In this case, that could be a very viable alternative that they say the case is not ripe yet. Go back and finish the case and then come to us with the case. That happens a lot in state and federal courts where you're premature in going to the appellate court. And yes, it just winds its way through, just like the Ninth District in California just upheld the
travel ban again. Just today they did that. Is there a fast tracking of situations like this because the sense that there could be harm by going slow because he is currently president and you know the numbers are racking up here?
Yeah, not the numbers are racking up. There are provisions allowing for emergency appeals and for having courts, superior courts, take the cases from the appellate courts. In Illinois, we have a provision allowing the Supreme Court in certain situations to take a case from the circuit court and not have to go to the appellate court. Same way with the Supreme Court, they could intervene whenever they think it's in the best interest of the government. So, yeah, you could try to fast-track it. Will it be fast-tracked? I don't think so.
No.
My guess is the court will not rule on something like this in an intermediary fashion. They'll let the whole case finish before they make a ruling.
All right.
Which means you may see his tax returns.
I can't wait.
Or you may see President Pence. Think about it.
This could make the Indianapolis 500 more exciting next year.
Much more exciting, yes.
Thank you, Burton. Appreciate it.
Bert, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
The tax returns, you know, it's interesting.
That's interesting.
The guy who wrote a book about Trump, The Art of Being Donald Trump, got sued by Donald Trump. And then they went into a deposition. And Donald Trump had to acknowledge that at 30 different times he had exaggerated or openly made up facts in that deposition. And one of them was about his own net worth.
Well, yeah. And he's mad at Forbes because they've underestimated his net wealth.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think the reason that they don't want to, I mean, there's a myriad of reasons they probably don't want to release the tax returns, but the big political headline is that he's not what he purports to be.
Could be it.
Wouldn't be shocking at all, would it?
Or the
he's
the
still
number,
worth a lot of money. He's been very successful.
Billions, right? For sure. And I don't think anybody disputes that. But, you know, the amount he puts on the brand Trump, is that a $5 billion number? Is that a $1 billion number? What is that brand?
And does it go up internationally because he's president? And I guess that's the question that we're asking here.
Exactly.
And then we have to make it as, again, we have to, this is a fascinating moment in American history because this is a reset. Even though right now we're all the you know both sides are you know hunkering down and you know get the people who can't wait for him to get impeached and the people who can't wait to defend him and you know no matter what happens they just see on both sides they see the world through the lens of their own experience as opposed to what the fact is in front of them. But at some point there are going to have to be people who are going to make decisions about this because we are in uncharted territory. Should presidents be allowed this? There will be a discussion about the containment of the presidency and how some of the rules that we do we that the founding fathers never thought about. And this doesn't change the Constitution necessarily.
No.
But it's an interpretation of the Constitution that that these courts, and you know, and quite honestly, I don't think Neil Gorsuch is necessarily going to go, hey, thanks for the job. I'm going to just take care of you here.
You don't get that. I don't get that impression from that guy. No.
Because and
he'll carefully consider the facts and render his decision. I don't think he's going to be a political animal.
Right. You may have other conservative judges who, you know, go that way because it's pretty clear. You know, there are some things that are just not going to, that we probably don't, we've slid a lot in terms of what our anticipation is of behavior.
Well, that's true. And that's the heart of this lawsuit. They say it's unprecedented that the American people have to question day after day whether decisions made and actions are benefiting the United States or benefiting the president personally because of so many intertwining global interests in his repertoire. You're at this position because you've never really had a modern president with this much of a global presence in a business sense.
Right.
You know, but that's where you are. And so how much should be allowed and how much shouldn't?
Exactly.
And when does it threaten the United States and when is it just okay?
And again, I think everybody on both sides of this has to say, well, what if this were being done by whoever your favorite person is?
Sure.
You know,
people are drawing the line to Hillary Clinton and her speeches and that she was selling speeches and that kind of thing. And that was her global presence that a lot of people didn't think sat ethically with themselves.
That's why.
And the country, I should say.
That's why the fall was so disturbing because you had two deeply flawed, not trustworthy candidates running for president of the United States. And, you know, how many people stopped and said, oh, my God, is this what we're left with?
Oh, gosh.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of people who thought that and then just like held their nose and did one or the other.
Or that Trump, for all his flaws, was worth it because he would disrupt a system that was not serving regular people in America. They saw it as working at odds with their own interests. And so if a disruptor, even if he's deeply flawed, is better than a party loyalist or someone who's more establishment.
All right.
In that position.
Well, we shall see.
Here we are.
All right. We're getting off the Trump train here. Whoop, whoop. Getting off the station.
Where are we stopping?
We're going to stop at Cosbyville.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Bill Cosby, strange happenings in the courtroom today in Philadelphia as the defense rested after 6 minutes.